down. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner talking home run. Touchdown. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner like.
All right. Hello, everybody. It is Monday, July 8th, 2025, and this is the Monday Report. I'm your host, H. James K., and today we are going to be talking about the evolution of sports broadcasting. Since the dawn of civilization, there has been a desire to spread the word, to share stories of heroism, glory, and sacrifice. As long as man has played sports, there have been those determined to spread the word, tell stories, create legends out of mere mortals. Milo of Croton, the legendary wrestler, was known for his incredible strength and the lion pelt that he wore in the ring like the mythical demigod Hercules. Milo of Croton won 6 total Olympic events at the 60th, 62nd, and 66th Olympic Games from 540 to 511 BC. Leonidas of Rhodes, known to have the speed of the gods, dominated running competitions from 164 to 152 BC. These legendary athletes from the age of antiquity and their stories were told around campfires and immortalized on pottery, frescoes, and impressive statues that have been largely lost to time. Yet their names live on. To borrow a turn of phrase from the late great poet George S. Patton, Jr., through the travail of ages, these legends and countless others have been canonized in the hallowed legends of sport. As technology has evolved, so has the means through which those stories have been told. The first live radio broadcast took place on April 11, 1921 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The broadcast was a boxing match between Johnny Ray and Johnny Dundee. The man responsible for the commentary was Florent Gibson, the then editor of the Pittsburgh Daily newspaper. The broadcast was one of a number of broadcasts done by KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh in 1921, which popularized sports broadcasting as a medium. The first professional football game ever broadcast was the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving of 1934. The owner of the Detroit Lions at the time was radio executive George Richards. He sought to put football in the forefront of the American sports consciousness in a time where baseball reigned supreme. He negotiated a deal for NBC Radio to take the broadcast nationwide. That game started a sports tradition that persists to this very day. In the 20s, 30s, 40s, and into the early 50s, radio reigned supreme, but television offered an experience that was quickly overtaking radio. With the dawn of television came a new, heretofore inconceivable means for the viewing public to take in sports. Instead of reading about it in the newspaper, or listening on the radio, or even seeing a newsreel at the theater, for the first time ever, average people could enjoy sports from the comfort of their own home. Watching sports, something that before now was only done in person, at the venue itself, could now be a casual thing families did without having to get off the couch. For the first time ever, famous boxers could be seen by the public. The Olympics could be seen with your own eyes. Feats of athletic skill that before now could only be described to you if you weren't there to see it in person could be shared and enjoyed by the masses. In a way, television democratized sports for the general public, allowing anyone with a TV to take part in and enjoy sports, something not previously possible before television. The first televised sporting event was the 1936 Berlin Olympics, famous for Jesse Owens' triumph over the Third Reich in their own backyard. The first American sports broadcast was a college baseball game, of all things, held between Princeton and Columbia on May 17, 1939. The first NFL game to be broadcast on television took place later that same year, on October 22nd, 1939, when the Brooklyn Dodgers played the Philadelphia Eagles in New York. And yes, I did say Brooklyn Dodgers. I didn't understand that one either, but I guess things were different back in 1939. The game was broadcast by NBC's experimental television station, and only a few hundred New Yorkers even had televisions to see it. Regular NFL TV broadcasts began after the conclusion of the Second World War. With television ownership on the rise, TV revenue passed radio revenue for the first time in the year 1949. By 1955, half of all American households had a television. The writing was on the wall, and TV was now the new go-to medium for all things sports entertainment. Over the next two decades, sports broadcasts on regular TV grew in both sophistication and popularity. On September 7, 1979, the world of sports broadcasting changed forever when the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network, or ESPN, broadcast for the first time. The idea of a 24-hour-a-day sports cable network was the brainchild of Bill Rasmussen, the former communications network director of the New England Whalers of the World Hockey Association, then the National Hockey League. The Whalers, now known as the Carolina Hurricanes, fired Rasmussen in 1978, at which time he came up with the idea of a cable network that did nothing but cover sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This was thought of mainly as a means to cover Connecticut sports in the beginning. Bill Rasmussen, his son Scott Rasmussen, and their business partner Ed Egan rented office space and began the work of establishing the world's first sports broadcasting network. The first words spoken on ESPN were from SportsCenter host Lee Leonard, when he said, quote, "If you're a fan, what you'll see in the next minutes, hours, and days to follow may convince you you've gone to sports heaven," end quote. ESPN changed everything, bringing viewers previously seldom seen sports, commentary on sporting news, and a specialization focus and reverence towards sports that was previously unthinkable. No longer would hosts of regular sports broadcasts be average newscasters calling a game they did not understand. Now, there was a network for sports fans by sports fans. The sudden emergence of ESPN forced sports broadcasting as a whole to improve in quality, as the alphabet networks actually had competition for viewers' attention. The first live NASCAR broadcast was in 1979. By 1989, every race was on national television. By 1997, every race was shown live, flag to flag. With the emergence of ESPN, sports popularity exploded in the United States and abroad. Sports leagues the world over began scheduling games with broad national audiences in mind. A World Series game at noon wasn't great for a fan in California, after all. As ESPN focused on live games and providing fans with highlight reels of games they may have missed, networks of all types began clamoring for sports to show their audiences, to keep their audiences tuned into their networks. By the early 90s, television had a veritable monopoly on fans' sports consumptions, with Major League Baseball beginning to lose its overwhelming popularity to other American sports. Television was the place to consume sports and sports commentary. Shows like Wind Tunnel with Dave Despain talked about all manner of motorsports, while SportsCenter became the veritable center of the sports broadcasting universe. For years, it seemed like nothing was going to topple TV as the king of sports. But as computer technology improved and the internet blossomed into the enormous place it would become, the world of sports broadcasting began to change once again. The internet once again democratized sports broadcasting, just as TV had done in the era of radio. With the explosion of podcasts and the meteoric rise of YouTube, a new type of sports media began to appear. The internet allowed fans to share their own opinions on sports, and there were millions of people willing to partake in those opinions. Suddenly, it wasn't merely the sports commentariat on television and radio that could share their opinions. Social media has further exploded the amount of sports to consume on the internet. More and more people are sharing their opinions, building communities on the internet, and shunning traditional sports media. This has led to a phenomenon called cord cutting, which has emerged over about the last 10 to 12 years. More and more people are abandoning their cable and satellite subscriptions in favor of merely going on the internet for their sports media. The emergence of streaming has further changed the face of sports broadcasting. Now, cable networks are creating their own streaming services, flooding the already crowded sports landscape with more content to consume in hopes of staying relevant and maintaining their positions in the sports broadcasting landscape. Streaming services are in some respect an answer to the YouTube social mediaification of sports media. Companies like Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix are getting into sports broadcasting, with Netflix streaming both a series of NFL games as well as a series of boxing matches. Amazon Prime is now streaming both NFL games and NASCAR. And Hulu offers a collection of cable sports channels in their Hulu Has TV and Live Sports package. Cable companies have gotten in on the act as well, with Peacock and Paramount Plus broadcasting their network's respective sports properties. The problem with this new ecosystem is that sports are more spread out than ever before, bothering some viewers. With so many services and so many sports on those networks, some fans have been forced to pay just as much as they would have for a cable subscription as they do for their now 7, 8, 10, 57 sports streaming services. This emerging reality leads to some questions regarding the future of sports broadcasting. Where does the streaming wars end? What's the fate of cable sports going to be? How does social media and YouTube factor into further sports media? Admittedly, I am one of those people who still adheres to cable television. There's something about being able to flip from NBC to CBS to ESPN to ABC to Big Ten Network to Fox Sports 1 during a college football Saturday that allows me to watch all the games without having to go from one streaming service to another streaming service to another streaming service. Now, maybe that means I'm an old fogey, even though I'm only 29. Maybe that means I'm from an antiquated era of sports media. But to someone like me, I fear change. We fear change in these parts. The era of streaming services has created a gluttony of content to consume because social media and YouTube aren't going anywhere. Traditional cable sports broadcasting isn't going anywhere. Instead, we are forced to consume a veritable fire hose of sports, especially if you're a sports lover like I am. I watch baseball, basketball, hockey on occasion, college football, NFL, Formula One, NASCAR, endurance racing, IndyCar. I watch so much sports all the time that it can be overwhelming, the sheer amount of sports content, which is what then leads fans to do what I've ultimately done, which is pick and choose what you watch. Motorsports and football, I watch on television. Sports commentary, I largely get on YouTube. I watch Tom Grassi. And I watch Brandon Perna. Occasionally, maybe I'll watch an episode from 5 Point Vids or Urinating Tree or any of the other sports YouTubers out there who have all built their own unique communities. Like Tom Grassi is a diehard Green Bay Packers fan. And Brandon Perna is a diehard Denver Broncos fan. And each of them has their own jokes and their own fans and donators and quirks and habits and tone. And they all bring something to the sports they commentate on. And that ultimately is the future of sports broadcasting. The era of people being a slave to one medium, whether that's radio or television or even the internet, that's over. Nowadays, people are going to pick and choose what they consume. Like for me, I'll watch Big Ten Saturday Night on Peacock, or I'll watch any other of the myriad of college football games on Amazon Prime or Netflix or every cable channel under the sun. But I'll also get commentary from YouTube, and people will pick and choose the media they want to consume because nobody can afford to watch it all. Nobody has the time to watch it all, and really nobody should, because that's not healthy in the slightest. Where cable broadcasting is concerned, the end isn't nigh. Like it's 9:30 in the evening, not 6 minutes to midnight, but the end is coming. Streaming services and the internet and social media have taken such a huge chunk out of sports media that eventually, maybe in 20 years, cable sports broadcasting will just not be a thing because everyone will be watching it on Amazon Prime or YouTube TV or Twitch or any other streaming platform or video aggregating website or anywhere else on the internet. That's what's ultimately going to happen. And the only way to prevent that, I think, is ultimately going to be the streaming services are going to have to bundle, just like gosh darn cable. It's going to be something like that proposed Venue Sports, where every cable sports channel was all in one for a hefty price of like $50. Now, there are antitrust issues with that, but when has that ever stopped corporate America? Ultimately, corporate America is going to have to adapt to the streaming era and figure out a way to bring all of it together so fans can focus their sports watching attention in one place, lest the overcrowded nature of the sports media landscape turn many viewers off and ultimately cannibalize everyone's viewership. The reckoning on the current state of things is coming, just like we've seen in college football, where the portal and NIL is kind of coming to a head, where it's become clear that, yeah, new rules are going to be needed, and yeah, new structures and new apparatus to control things are going to be needed, because the state of things as they are right now is untenable. And the same can be said in sports broadcasting. Amazon Prime has done something for NASCAR that cannot be understated. Their NASCAR broadcast was so good that it has put all other NASCAR broadcasts to shame, especially Fox Sports and NBC. It's to the point where fans are judging networks harshly because they don't match up to, one, the commentator's quality, the direction, and the camera quality. Networks are going to have to be forced to adapt. Just like with the switch from analog to digital, it's going to take a push for networks to realize that the current state of things isn't enough. In IndyCar, the current amount of commercials is not sustainable. Eventually, fans are going to stop paying attention to a sport like IndyCar because you get 10 minutes of racing, 3 minutes of commercials, 10 minutes of racing, 3 minutes of commercials for 3 dang hours. It's not sustainable, and there's going to have to be a reckoning. Things are going to have to change. Now, whether that's a congressional action or that's just market forces, things will change eventually because nothing lasts forever, and the viewing public is a fickle, cruel, hateful mistress. At the same time, it has never been better to be a sports fan. Right now, you can watch any sport you can imagine. It's out there. You want to watch Australian V8 supercars? You can watch that somewhere on the internet. You want to watch professional cornhole? You can watch that on ESPN3, probably. Any football game. Hell, a lot of high school football games are now on TV. Football, all-star games, college ball, college hockey, basketball, college basketball, rugby, women's college volleyball on Big Ten Network. It has never been easier to consume both actual sports and actual commentary. Because there are shows like Speak for Yourself and Undisputed back in its day and First Things First and Pardon My Take and all these other sports commentary shows from ESPN and Fox Sports that still have a place in sports broadcasting and still have a role to play. So it's great. You can pick and choose what you want to watch and ignore what you don't. And if you do, the days of being forced to watch Joe Schmo whatever and his stuffy opinions on, well, that's not how we do this in this sport, you can say, screw that guy, I'm going to go watch Tom Grassi instead. Or, screw that guy, I'm going to go watch whatever. Screw that guy, I'm going to go listen to H. James K. and his podcast. Whatever it may be. Fans have choice now. And that choice ultimately is going to cause a coalescing of market forces that's going to reshape all of this landscape. But for right now, choice rules the day. And choice is good. Embrace choice. Alright, I'm going to end it there before I rant anymore, because I've already been ranting for 8 minutes. Which wasn't my initial plan, but whatever. I'm also sharing my thoughts. So next week, we're going to have another expose. And then I'm also going to do another one the week after that. Because I'm going on vacation, and I really don't want to bring my microphone and record podcasts when I'm on a beach. I just don't want to do that. So I'm not gonna. I want to record episodes in advance, and those are going to be what you're going to get the next 2 Mondays after this one. So for those of you listening on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music and Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are available, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spread the word. Leave a like if you can. Comment if you can. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Help us grow and get out to more people. For those of you listening on YouTube, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the bell icon to get notifications. Feed the algorithm and spread the word so we can get more subscribers. The last time I checked, we had 9 whole subscribers on my YouTube channel, and I'm gonna check in real time. Let's check. Is it still 9? Is it still 9? Yes, it is still 9. Pain. Suffering and agony. One day we'll get that 10th YouTube subscriber. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in August. Who knows? But please consider subscribing. Alright. My name is H. James K. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time.